Hi, everyone, and welcome back to For the Curious and Confused, a podcast for people who want to understand different perspectives of the world through the people and who inhabit it. I'm your host, Dominic Taggart, and today I'm joined by Sharon Rolfe, a behavioral scientist, retirement coach, and author. Sharon holds a master's degree in behavioral science from the City University of Seattle, where she worked and she worked at Boeing for many years as an employee involvement facilitator, where she helped bring out the collective potential and wisdom in her teams. Upon entering retirement in 2016, she suddenly found herself bouncing off the walls, trying to figure out how to find meaning in her new environment. Drawing on her background as a behavioral scientist, Sharon decided to focus this energy into a mission devoted to helping others discover their own inner spark. Today, Sharon specializes in guiding newly retired individuals through the confusion of what comes next and into an energized way of life. She focuses on replacing feelings of frustration, invisibility, and disengagement with true self-awareness. Her passion lies in helping people tap into their intrinsic motivation, find meaning, and feel confident about who they truly are. As someone who will get older and retire one day, I'm very excited to engage with these ideas. So, Sharon, thank you so much for sharing your time with us today.
Well, thank you for having me. And I love talking to people who have curiosity and are still learning and growing. And of course, as a PhD student, that's your pathway for your time in life. But sometimes retirees, they forget that there's still opportunity to learn and grow and be curious.
Yeah, definitely. Very excited to unpack more of that. So to start us off, could you give us a 2-minute introduction into who Sharon Rolfe is and what motivates her?
Well, I love bringing out the best in people as a behavioral scientist, and I love that each one of us are unique. And I therefore count that that's a golden nugget inside each one of us. And collective potential, I think that was in the introduction there. I just love the idea of us. Well, I'm also a certified knowledge manager. So what that boils down to me is if Don puts out his knowledge on the table and I put out my knowledge on the table, the opportunity for new knowledge to innovation happen is possible when we share our knowledge. So that becomes collective knowledge or synergy. Synergy is my favorite word. So a lot of retirees don't see it that way, but it's an easy, simple way to realize that we all have something to share and to learn from each other. I met a lady online in LinkedIn this week that she might be coming on my podcast. Well, it's more of a community event, Loneliness to Resilience member community. And I think she's going to talk about resilience and that. She's got a book called It All Starts With a Conversation. It's starting here with a conversation, getting back to being a community. And I think we all need reminding of how do we do community and connect with each other. So I'm glad I had to hustle to get back to ready for the podcast today. So I'm glad I did because this is going to be good.
Yeah, I'm very excited. Yeah, to piece together two of those parts you mentioned, the first part of if we each bring our knowledge together, then that brings to mind like a the sum, the total is greater than sum of its parts, where those parts individually are going to be more impactful together. And then that also ties into the part about that can only happen through community. So my next question was going to be, what are some of the challenges that you think people experience in being able to bring together their collective knowledge so that we can have this sum, which is more beneficial for everyone?
Well, my story along that line, Don, is that I wanted to be invisible as a kid. Now, and because I felt it would be safe. So there had been abuse happening in my home for decades, and I decided that, well, if I double down and get good grades and don't rock the boat and be obedient, I might be safe. And that pretty much did work. But it wasn't until I retired and started trying to find clients that maybe I'm still invisible. And I'm finding that often young people and retired people feel unseen, unheard, and undervalued. And that just really is what I'm here to solve. But the solution, on the way to the solution, I see potential. You know, my potential, well, in retirement, I see all the free time as untapped potential because people become bored or distracted, or they're golfing all the time. And where's fulfillment, the meaning, you know? How long does that last? I actually had heard at Boeing, and I drove for Lyft for a year, and the same thing I heard in from one of my writers was, you know, don't retire until you're ready to die in 3 years. The myth was, if you retire, you'll be dead in 3 years. It took me quite a while to come to the conclusion, yeah, it might take a couch potato 3 years to die. But I make these little art blocks, and I think this was the name of one of my series, Fresh Courage, It's Your Time to Shine. But I'm looking for the one that says, I'll know the next step once I take the first step. So sometimes, okay, so we oftentimes get ideas, or a little voice talks to us while we're watching the fire burn, or we're out on vacation and we see the sunset and the water and all this, and there's silence, and there might be a small voice that talks to you, and it might excite you, but it also might scare you because it sounds like such a big, wonderful, amazing idea, and it scares you because you don't know where to start and how can you handle it. But I think that so what yeah I'll know the next step once I take the first step applies to something that it might excite you, but it sounds overwhelming too. So anyway, in retirement, to keep thriving and growing, having a purpose is the first big thing. And my program that I take people through, Discover Your Spark, Rekindle Your Joy, is the way that happens. So when I actually started coaching school class the week before I retired, because I'd run a big project back when I was not quite 40, and my director said, "Well, have something else to go to before your big event, you know, ends." I thought, well, retirement is a big event. I think I better start working on this. And so I had gotten an email in my box at Boeing about this program that the community college was partnering with Boeing on, and it was about this coaching. And the first weekend, Don, they taught us how to write our essence statement. And in fact, I think I have a slide here that has the elements on. Well, it's a, yeah. So I don't know if you can see this or not. That's probably pr pretty small, but
Yep, I
these
can
are
see it. Yeah, for the listeners, it's a slide of kind of the things to explain what sort of, I guess, meaning and purpose you have with
well,
looking at what your, yeah, maybe you can explain it for us.
it's the elements that go into knowing who you are on the inside. Those invisible assets. You know, your education is an invisible asset. The things you love to do. I can't tell from looking at Don what he loves to do, so it's invisible. It's your personal qualities, you know, things you might like about yourself, your hot buttons, your aspirations, your values, and your guiding principles. And what we did that weekend for writing our essence statement, we put all those elements into a metaphor. And my metaphor I decided to use was something that was a set of rings that I had seen in Mayfair in Dallas, Texas. And these these rings were so unique, you know, just like were unique. I loved how unique they were. Because this was made by a algebra, no, geometry teacher turned jeweler. So they were different. And I have them on my dream board. So I describe myself, my things I love to do, my hot buttons, my guiding principles with this metaphor of being a precious jewel of wisdom, a colorful collaborator, motivator, and learner. I am tranquil, authentic, and pure inspirer. I light fires. I want to light a fire in everybody. And with all this free time in retirement, that's what draws me to work with retirees, because let's help them thrive and keep being curious. Personal growth has always been important to me and others. And the one of the best benefits of having an essence, know your essence. Oh, I left out the step of when we stood in a circle, the colleagues, and read our essence statement to each other. And I noticed people were kind of sniffling a little bit as they were reading it. And I thought, well, what's that about? Well, when it came my turn, I was shocked. Nobody had ever asked me to define my soul before. It was such a precious moment. And I want to teach 10% of the boomers that about their inner spark, what motivates them, what is their invisible assets and their uniqueness that they can still share with the world. The way the world is today, that seems almost impossible, but I believe when you have meaning and purpose and fulfillment, it's a little bit like heaven on earth, and that's my goal.
Oh, I love that. That's awesome. Yeah, so to see if I can tell you back some of what you said to hear if I'm hearing you right in that, and I think lead into the next question also is you were mentioning the feeling of like feeling invisible early on and like kind of that continuing on. And if I'm hearing this right, it sounds like that it's not only invisible, like the world is not seeing you, but also at least for some people, they're invisible to themselves as well in the what you just mentioned with the being able to define your soul and list out what your real and most authentic traits are. And then also tying in with being scared of your goals potentially as well and like having the courage to pursue those goals. So my question is, how do we retirees specifically in this context, but also maybe in a broader sense, everybody, what do we do to become uninvisible to ourselves and then also is uninvisible to ourselves the way that we become uninvisible to the world? Or is it an inward, starting from inward to outward process? Or is it an outward to inward process? Or maybe some
Well, I
mixture?
would say, especially starting with, is to loving yourself. And I think I'm still working on that, but this last year I've made a lot of progress. And yet I'm reading a couple of things I read, I think it was yesterday, that I could do so well. I'm realizing that because of the trauma, and so many of us have a trauma in our past that has shut us down, it tethered my personality. But back to when I retired, I had gotten in the mail about the same time a profile that I'd filled out. And I like profiles because it helps me understand myself. But this time I thought they made a mistake. This is not me. They called me an influencer. You got that wrong. But over the next few months, I had an invitation to be a guest on a podcast out of New York City. And so I thought, well, maybe I should take some baby steps and see if there's anything to this. Well, they thought I had something to say and had some energy, and they came back and offered me a chance to do a podcast series. So I did like 26 of them, and they provided me with a mic here and all that. So I started having guests in. Well, it's easy to do a podcast when you have guests in. You know, I did a couple that were by myself. You know, what you'll get out of this, and you might have and like it. You know, but how to start being visible? Well, it reminds me, Dawn, of a. I must have been, I guess, in my young 30s when I. Well, I was working for GTE at the time, General Telephone. And for some reason, I got a chance to be in an audience, a small group of people in the boss's office, the top boss's office, no less. And it seemed like we were expected to all ask him a question. And I kept sitting there wondering if he had questions for us. Couldn't this go both ways? In fact, here's one of my art blocks too that just says, "What do you think?" And I thought he's not the only one in the room with intelligence here. I did not have the courage to say anything, but I sat there the last half or third of the meeting, wanting so much to ask him a question. I mean, see if he had questions for us. So that was a good example of not feeling seen. Or, well, they saw me, but I didn't speak up. So what I did do, though, in my graduate work, I remember coming back and being in a meeting at GTE in a room of people, and I imagine kicking the back of my chair, you know, in the meeting, and telling myself, "Come on, put something out there. You're going to speak up for some of the other people in the room that don't yet have the courage." And that's how I started getting myself to speak up, is to imagine kicking the back of my chair, you know, like your brother or sister would maybe shove you a little bit, to because it helped me to know that I was helping other people besides myself. And that in the lack of their courage to speak up, because a lot of times in meetings, the real issue isn't getting dealt with. You know, somebody's sidetracking, and we would often call it putting the sliding things under the rug. That's they're not dealing with the real issue. So by the time I left Boeing, though, I remember I was asked to make a speech, and I made it about 10 minutes. And I told this was all managers and supervisors in the room, and I told them some of the real truth that they needed to hear. So my courage was
Was
paying
that the
off.
first time they'd heard that?
I could be, you know, I don't know. Sometimes, you know, if especially when you're a boss, I realize that asking somebody what do you think? An egotistical person will not ask that. They're the one with all the knowledge. But there's a gentleman out of Cleveland, Ohio, that is doing work with companies now that are helping harvest, gather, get in touch with some of that collective potential and collective intelligence that does sit in your room. And you give them a space to be safe, seen, and heard. It's marvelous work. And his company is called Exchange without the E on the front of it. But I'd like someday to be able to work for him because it just excites me that he can make it so safe and so authentic and drawing the best out of people. It just leaves me. Well, he says instead of being the sage on the stage, you know, the speaker, the top boss, you're instead a guide on the side. And you're drawing from the creativity and innovation everybody in the room. Kind
That's
of
a
like a
really good trait
miracle.
to have. Yeah, those people that can, yeah, like really m make someone feel comfortable enough to express themselves in a way where they're not worrying about what the objective is or what the result is. And oftentimes that's where the best of people comes out. And they have different strengths and weaknesses, and not everybody will have the same strengths and weaknesses, but if they're cutting some of them off or trying to develop in ways that aren't necessarily conducive with them, it's not going to work. So having leaders like that is very great. And so, kind of going into that, I think what are some of the methods that you use as a coach to introduce retirees into discovering this purpose and meaning?
Well, most of what I'm doing right now is on podcasts. In fact, I haven't had that many clients because I'm still struggling a little bit. In fact, I'm starting to read a book today about the badass something about making money. I can't believe how much truth is, ooh, she's talking about me. But okay, so in my program, I ask people to list 20 things you love to do. Well, that's pretty safe, non-threatening, but it's surprising how tough it is to come up with 20 things. I love feeding dog biscuits when I go on my walk, and I love baking, and I love sewing. Okay, and let's see, I'm looking for, okay, this is a good one. I love to sew, I love to color, and I love words of wisdom. And these words of wisdom on this block is from John Maxwell, and this is questions he included in his book for leaders. What makes me sing? Okay, that's kind of your excitement element. What makes me cry? Well, that would be either your empathy or just, well, not so much disappointment. Yeah, it's what moves your heart, which is also pretty important. What makes me dream? Well, that would be your innovation, the future. What makes me excel? That would be my invisible assets. And what makes me different? Well, that's your uniqueness. So this is an example of some of my things that I love to do, because I collected words of wisdom for probably about 20 years, and now practically every book I read, I come up with nuggets that can go on my art blocks.
I love the little nuggets like that. Yeah, the one that sprang to my mind when you were talking about like being afraid to speak up in the meetings was one that I like is it was like to don't use your thoughts to change your behavior, use your behavior to change your thoughts. And so you just got to jump in there and do it. And so that I think sounded similar to what kind of you were saying in that first part there.
Kind of
So
walking your talk.
yeah, exactly. Yeah. So very similar ideas. I'm also curious about what differences you see in your male and female retiree clients. Maybe not in clients, but in maybe just the demographics of them, because we're in a different era now in 2025, and I'm curious how those gender differences have propagated over the years and now are showing up in the retirees.
Well, it seems like women handle retirement better. Well, let's first talk about all the retirement planning I got at Boeing, and yeah, mainly Boeing, was financial. Everybody, the experts of your wealth management or plan for the future, the only plan was financial. Well, when I started my podcast, Maximizing Retirement, had nothing to do with financial because that's already covered. As a behavioral scientist, I help you transition in all those emotional transitions. Well, and changes and transitions, they're in the process. There is a time of confusion, change management. I studied that somewhat. And yeah, it sounds good at first, but then when you're starting the changes, like, where are you going? Is this really going to work before you start seeing the good results? So the time of confusion is natural. And women seem to embrace and understand those emotions because we kind of process things a lot by talking about things. And the beauty of talking about things is it helps dissipate the anxiety, I guess, would say. We're meant to, I'm seeing as being more doers. There's a gentleman in my building here in condos that I think he said he retired twice. They're such doers. They're not valuable, and they're not happy unless they're making something or fixing something or doing, you know, taking care of the family or whatever. So he, I think he was kind of bounced off the walls because he didn't have anything to do. Well, when he finally did retire, it wasn't long before his wife became, had some kind of accident where she fell and has been in a lot of pain ever since. So he's kind of become a caretaker for her. And man, caretakers just kind of amaze me because that's not quite so likely to be in their wheelhouse, I guess. And yet it touches me that they can handle it and learn to grow into it. And that's amazing nugget of transformation. One of my boxes, well, this isn't exactly failure, but okay, so we might have regrets in retirement. And if you see regrets as something that you botched up and you failed at, well, how can you, with curiosity, turn it into a learning experience? Something else I was going to, they
what
say.
are the what are the key aspects of that? Of like, so if you were to, okay, so you have failure happens, then you perceive that failure happening, and then your two paths open up. You can kind of go deeper down a
bury it.
darker hole, or you can use it as a learning experience. So what is the, once you are faced with that path, what are the specific things that someone can do to be more likely to learn from it rather than to be taken down from it?
Well, in fact, this book I'm reading on Badass Money Manager, I'm asking myself kind of that same question, Don, is, am I going to, you know, just, oh yeah, I guess it's time has passed. I'm 77 after all. And I can use this hacking as being a, oh well, I guess I earned this. Even though somebody did tell me yesterday wasn't my fault, and that sure felt good about hearing that. But can it also, in fact, turn me around and say, I'll show you, you know, as a 3-year-old, I want to tie my own laces? Well, I can. I, in fact, a couple of weeks ago, I did kind of do that. I posted something on Facebook that was really hard to write. But I use the example of your trauma is different than my trauma, and yet we both may be stymied or tethered or, you know, tapped down in our expression of ourselves because it's more common to think that's how life is instead of reprogramming your mind to say, there are opportunities for growth. One book I read twice was Liberating Greatness. And this guy, the author, had actually been pegged as being mentally challenged in school. And he went on to be an attorney for patents and wrote this book, Liberating Greatness. Well, we liberate our own greatness by our own mindset. And saying that that's not the end of me. It is not going to bury me. I'm not going to have regrets. I will do what it takes to change or transition, even if it's, you know, not knowing everything you need to know when it starts. So good question, though. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm hearing a lot of ideas that are very similar and can benefit not only retirees, but also younger people and general people as well. So to zoom in a little bit on maybe how you perceive differences in the generations. So there's the boomer generation. I'm going to generalize here, boomer generation, and then younger generation, I'm going to say 20 to 30 year olds. What in your experience, maybe you don't have a lot of interactions with younger people, but in your experience, what is, are there anything that contributes to misunderstandings between those two generations? Because I think that a lot of people's parents are of the boomer age. People who are my age have parents in the boomer age, and there are misunderstandings sometimes. So what sort of things do you think contribute to these misunderstandings of what everybody needs?
I don't have a lot of experience with that, but I do remember while at GTE that I was having to start working with this young guy that he was kind of handsome, so that helped. But I started feeling intimidated by him because, he's faster in his thoughts. He knows Excel, for example. We were using doing a project with Excel in Microsoft. And he knew things that I didn't know, and to ask a question that I could learn what he knows or help understand. I think they went on for a couple months of being intimidated by this knowing different things, and yet we're having to contribute to the same project. I have nieces and nephews, but I'm not around them much at all. So, I one nephew, they just had twins a year ago, and he's posting all the time about that he has a date night with his wife. Experiences seem to be really hot for him. So he's whenever he posts on Facebook, it's always about something that they were going out to eat. Or they're going out on a boat with his friends or something with the twins. So this whole experience is so much more important to him than saving for retirement. I don't know if he's saving for retirement, but I do notice about three times that I've seen him as gifts for his kids that he'll take a picture with having a $5 bill as a gift. And yeah, that might be saving for his education. The kids' education, but I thought kids don't appreciate money, but that's important to him. And I probably don't know the full reason why it's important to him to give a 1-year-old.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, it is.
The part about the you mentioned being intimidated by the younger guy you're working with about the Excel stuff. I think that is a common one that creates tension between younger people and older people. Some like technology, particularly like my parents are older. My mom's pretty savvy with a phone. She's pretty good with the technology, but my dad is a little older and he sometimes is not quite as savvy with it. And I think there's a lot of impatience in younger folks when that happens because we grew up using it, and so it feels like a second, like it feels natural, and we can't conceive that somebody, it does not come naturally to them as well. And that I think is a shortcoming on our part. And yeah, it's such a different skill sets. So that's interesting to hear that you
Yeah,
have that
I
experience.
feel that there's so not a lot of times, but man, when it happens, you really need to know, help me, like even with my phone. But what I wound up doing in that case with Derek was to step back and say, he's got skills that works for him, and I've got knowledge and wisdom that he doesn't have. So don't be intimidated, but switch into that learning mode with him instead of being afraid or less than, but be we're equal because we bring different ingredients to a project,
Yeah,
our
a team is
nugget.
not strong because everybody has the same skill set. It's the combination of all those skill sets, as we were mentioning at the very beginning of all this. Yeah. So a question for you about kind of your own personal experience around aging. What has been the best part about aging for you, and what has been the most challenging part?
The best part is, and this goes back to about my 40s. I had moved to Tampa, Florida with GTE, and my friends here had told me to give yourself 6 months before you get homesick and turn around and come home. And 3 months, I got this. This is working. I'm okay. But by the 4th month, I had hit the wall. And this is tough, you know. This I need some help. And I only knew three or four people down there that had transferred from my location down there and was living alone in the condo there. And I for some reason went to my Bible concordance and looked up the word courage, apparently, because I came up with in Joshua chapter 1 and 2, it refers to courage about 6 or 8 times. And said, do not be afraid, be courageous, be of good courage, be of great courage. And I wound up stomping my foot and declaring I refuse to live my life based on fear. Because of that, I should show you my. Sometimes I had to imagine a stop sign about 4 inches from my nose on
For the
several
listeners, there's
occasions.
a is a an image of a stop sign on the paper, so we've got a
I
very
did
visual
one. I
recognition
did.
of that.
Yeah. And I would imagine it, like in my face, stop. So as a result of refusing to live my life based on fear, it has made me much younger looking. I at 77, well, even when I retired at 69, people always guess that I was about 15 years younger than I really am. So
Really
that's the
good for
benefit.
77.
Yeah, that's the benefit of that has been for me in retirement. And I don't usually expect or enter into any conversations around being old. I'm starting to feel a little older. I do see a couple wrinkles. What do you call it?
Crow's feet.
Yeah. But it just needs some moisturizer, and they'll be okay. The biggest challenge. Okay, so in all honesty, I've never married, never had kids. And I've had roommates a lot, but what I seem to lack that I'm noticing is the lack of kids have a way of bringing a lot of fun into your life. And
The lack of
something
that makes fun.
to, fun, yeah, kids to help have fun and excitement and things to celebrate and hug, you know. And there hasn't been that many young kids in the family. My nephew, his kids aren't quite to the hugging stage. I've seen them just once, but I'll probably see him again this summer. But all the more reason that to fill my social calendar, I need to focus on that and do something about it. I am responsible for being socially healthy. I've been reading the book Powered by Me by a lady, Indian lady doctor that worked in the emergency room, and she loved her job, but she got burned out at 33. And so she talks about how there's like this mental energy, mental energy, physical energy, social energy, spiritual energy, and of course, physical energy. And so I'm, as in my loneliness to resilience weekly event, I'm starting to talk about these different kinds of energy. And social energy means you've got stuff on your calendar that puts you with people. Oh, the benefit of all that, and I meant to say that earlier, is that when you have purpose and meaning and social health, you have longevity. And you're not spending so much time in the doctor's office.
Yeah, I'm sure those things do. I guess the darkest ones really start to become much more noticeable when you're getting older, if you, as you said, haven't taken care of yourself properly. So, yeah, I know several older folks who, yeah, assume they're just always back and forth between doctor's appointments. So, yeah, being able to minimize that by prevention seems like a really great way to invest your time.
Yeah. Purpose will help change that a lot because it gives you a reason to get out of the house. You're learning something. You're socializing. I deliver food to four families from the food bank every week. So and that
Service is
food
a great
bank
one
is,
also.
yeah. So it's there's a different kind of, well, we need a whole course, you know, in the universities. They're starting to open up courses for the older generation to learn a new way of being in life. And yeah, our parents kind of felt, we learn this, we're going to be in the rocking chair for you know, because we earn this. But with that comes health that is compromised. And my mom died at 64, I think mainly because of iron deficiency. My dad died, I think, of some kind of heart issue, 73, I believe. But I'm headed for 100, you know?
Oh yeah,
I'm
there we go.
zoom zoom, you know.
It looks like you got the energy for it. Yeah, I'm seeing it. Okay, I have one more question for you, Sharon. To kind of wrap all this up, what is a piece of advice that is important to you that you could leave us with?
Oh yeah, my favorite that I like to give, and it just kind of hits the nugget a little bit, is a line from Thomas Wolfe. If one has a talent and fails to use it, one has failed. If one has a talent and partially uses it, they have partially failed. If one has a talent and finds the way to use the whole of it, they have gloriously succeeded. And won a satisfaction few people ever know.
Learn your talent, find the talent, use it, benefit everyone.
Yeah,
Love it.
discover your spark, rekindle your joy is my secret sauce and learning. It's the same process I learned in Essence, starting coaching class. And Essence is used a lot these days. And to me, your inner spark is needs to be reignited, and I'm here to light it.
I'm hearing that. I'm getting that from you for sure. Definitely. Great. Sherry, this has been a super great conversation. I appreciate your transparency and being able to talk about all the stuff you've been going through and have been enacting for other retirees as well. So thank you for all your time today.
Well, thank you for having me be here and for your good questions and wanting to listen to, you know, the older generation. There's a couple of organizations that are they call it co-generation or intergenerational kind of events. And I think my senior center here has a one of these it's a game where it depends on what generation you are in, whether you know the answer or not. Like, something I remember one question being about Brill cream, you know, and well, us older ones know what Brill cream is. A little dabble, do you? Was the advertisement that was on, oh, I can't quite remember the word. But it's anyway. So the delight to work with each other and be willing to learn from each other is what makes it's going to help change the world, because we'll help heal the world. I didn't have any illnesses during pandemic. In fact, I wrote my book Fresh Courage in Retirement then, and it's kind of a do it yourself for your purpose. It doesn't teach you about your spark, but it helps make you hungry for it. So Fresh Courage in Retirement, Finding Purpose, Essence, and Fulfillment is available on Amazon.
There you go. Everybody go to Amazon, check it out. Perfect. Great. Thank you so much. This has been a great conversation.
Thanks, Don. It's been a fun being here too today. I'm glad it worked out.